Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Landslide, The Unmaking of the President, 1984-1988, is a work of narrative political journalism by Jane Mayer and Doyle McManus. It examines Ronald Reagan's second term through the Iran-Contra affair and the internal weaknesses that the scandal exposed inside the White House. Rather than treating the period as a simple scandal recap, the book studies how a presidency built on image delegation and political confidence could drift away from operational control. Its purpose is both explanatory and historical. It reconstructs the chain of decisions, rivalries, and assumptions that allowed covert policy to develop outside normal accountability. The result is a detailed account of presidential power under stress, written for readers interested in American politics, government institutions, and investigative reporting. The book is especially concerned with the gap between public rhetoric and administrative reality, making it a study of how political authority can appear strong while becoming increasingly fragile underneath. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Iran-Contra as the central test of Reagan-era governance. The book uses the Iran-Contra affair as more than a scandal narrative. It treats it as the decisive event that revealed the structural weaknesses of Reagan's second term. Mayer and McManus trace how the administration's efforts to secure the release of American hostages became entangled with secret arms transactions and support for the Contras in Nicaragua. What matters in their account is not only the illegality or controversy of the operation, but the way it showed a presidency operating on parallel tracks public policy, stated in moral and strategic terms, while covert action followed a different logic. This duality helps explain why the scandal was so damaging. It did not merely expose one bad decision. It demonstrated that formal leadership, policy execution, and presidential awareness were not aligned. The book therefore frames Iran-Contra as a governance failure, showing how secrecy, improvisation, and weak oversight can erode constitutional accountability inside an otherwise confident administration. Secondly, a presidency shaped by image, stagecraft, and political theater. One of the book's strongest themes is the contrast between Reagan's public persona and the less orderly reality of his administration. Mayer and McManus describe a White House that often relied on performance, message discipline, and symbolic force, but they argue that this style could not substitute for substantive control. Reagan's political strength in 1984 encouraged the belief that electoral dominance could stand in for operational mastery. The authors challenge that assumption by showing how a presidency can look stable from the outside while becoming internally disorganized. This is why the book repeatedly returns to the idea that the administration valued stagecraft over statecraft. That contrast gives the work its analytical power. It explains how a highly effective communicator could preside over an environment in which crucial decisions were fragmented across aides, competing offices, and informal channels. The book's critique is not simply personal, it is institutional. It suggests that when a presidency becomes too dependent on image management, it risks losing the mechanisms needed for serious governance. Thirdly, White House power struggles and the problem of delegated authority. The book devotes substantial attention to the internal battles that shaped decision-making in Reagan's second term. It highlights shifting relationships among senior officials such as Donald T. Reagan, James Baker, and Howard Baker, showing how chief of staff politics influenced the flow of power around the president. These conflicts matter because they reveal a central issue in the Reagan White House: authority was delegated so widely that the boundaries of responsibility became blurred. Mayer and McManus do not portray delegation as inherently bad. Instead, they show that delegation without clear supervision can produce confusion, rivalry, and self-justifying behavior among subordinates. In this environment, aides could gain influence not by formal accountability, but by proximity, access, and the ability to manage the president's time and attention. The result was a system in which important policy questions could be displaced into informal networks. By reconstructing these internal dynamics, the book explains how administrative structure can shape political outcomes, sometimes as much as ideology or public controversy. Fourthly, questions about presidential awareness, illness, and constitutional vulnerability. A striking dimension of the book is its attention to concerns about Reagan's capacity and the possibility that his staff might have needed to confront constitutional remedies. The search result material notes that incoming Chief of Staff Howard Baker briefly considered the 25th Amendment after hearing reports of depression, and this reflects the book's larger interest in the fragility of executive authority. Mayer and McManus do not reduce the presidency to questions of health alone, but they do use these concerns to illuminate how uncertainty about a president's engagement can affect the entire governing structure. If aides are unsure how much the president knows, how closely he is following events, or how much he can absorb, then decision-making becomes vulnerable to distortion. This is especially consequential in a crisis-driven environment like Iran-Contra. where secrecy and speed amplified the risk of miscommunication. The book's treatment of this issue adds a constitutional dimension to its political analysis. It asks readers to think not only about scandal, but also about the practical limits of presidential command when executive function becomes unclear. Lastly, investigative journalism as civic explanation rather than partisan attack. The book stands out for its journalistic method. It is based on detailed reporting and aims to make a complex political episode understandable, without simplifying it into a single ideological verdict. Although some readers have described it as anti-Reagan, the work is better understood as a critical investigation of how power operated during a consequential administration. Mayer and McManus organize a large amount of public evidence, insider testimony, and institutional context into a coherent narrative that helps readers see how the scandal developed and why it mattered. This gives the book value beyond the immediate history of the 1980s. It models a kind of civic reporting that connects events to systems, election strategy to governance, personnel conflict to policy failure, and secrecy to democratic accountability. The prose may read like a political thriller, but the underlying purpose is explanatory. That combination of readability and institutional analysis is what has made the book durable in the literature on the presidency and investigative nonfiction. In conclusion, Landslide, The Unmaking of the President, 1984-1988, is best suited for readers who want a serious, well-documented account of Reagan's second term, the Iran-Contra affair, and the broader weaknesses of modern presidential power. It will appeal to students of American history, political science, journalism, and anyone interested in how administrations can lose coherence behind a successful public image. Its main practical value is that it helps readers understand how secrecy, delegation, and message-driven politics can undermine accountability inside government. Its intellectual value lies in showing that a presidency is not only shaped by elections and ideology, but also by staffing, access, and the quality of internal control. Compared with more general books on Reagan, this work is narrower in scope, but sharper in diagnosis. Compared with books focused only on scandal, it is more structural and more concerned with how the presidency works as an institution. That combination of narrative clarity, investigative depth, and constitutional relevance is what makes it stand out in its category. If you would like to support Jane Mayer, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.